Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Renegade Radio. I'm your host, Andy Lowe, and as always, we are brought to you by Renegade Concepts and the good folks here at Business Radio X. We're going to continue our theme, talking about companies and people that break the rules of conventional thinking, live outside of their traditional norms, and have achieved great business success as a result of that. And today, I'm joined by two people who are in a field of personal favor of mine, which is technology, and we're going to be visiting with Pam Adams from the BizLinks Center and Robert Hilburn from Network Networks. Now, I got to tell you, that's a little tongue twister, so you guys forgive me if I stumble over that one a little bit later. But I'm going to put that one on hold, and Pam, I'd like to start with you. So tell us a little bit about the BizLinks Center and who you are and what you do.
Well, thank you so much for having us on today or having me on today. The BizLinks Center is a meeting, training, and an open workspace, and we are located in Duluth right in the Gwinnett Place area. And with that, we provide, I like to call it a work, learn, play environment. So we provide open workspace. A lot of people have heard the term co-working, and that gives businesses the opportunity to get out of the coffee shops and the bookstores into a more professional environment for running their business and having meetings with their clients. And then we also do a lot of training, a lot of other fun networking meetings. So it's a lot of great networking that happens on there, a lot of learning. And then our fun part is we do poking parties, we have game nights. So it's a different way to network without having to just do the same old business card passing. So we have a lot of things going on at the center. We just started doing some online TV shows, so it's an opportunity to talk to businesses in a different way and for them to get their word out in a different way.
Okay, well, let's back up because you threw a lot of things at us right there, and I'd like to dig into each one of them a little bit. So first, let's talk about this open work environment. This is a little bit different. This is not what we're used to, but maybe kind of let's talk about what the traditional norms are for workspace and what you guys do that's different, and then why.
Okay. Well, part of that is a lot of businesses, once they grow beyond their home office, they start looking at virtual office spaces and getting a physical office. But sometimes that's just still too much for businesses. They need to get out of their home office so they can get out, collaborate, network with other businesses, but they really can't afford what the virtual offices cost. And a lot of them don't need their own private office. Part of what makes us a little different is with the open workspace, it's opportunity for those businesses to collaborate. I used to have an open private office as well, but what I found was because small businesses, we work long hours. So in the evenings, it ended up just being me and the cleaning person. Or on Saturdays, it ended up being I could get in the building, but the power was out, not the power, but the air was off. So it wasn't quite an environment conducive for a small business or a mobile professional. So co-working came about maybe about 6 years ago, but it's still not that known. It's more known in the north or on the West Coast, but it's starting to grow in a lot of other areas, and that's that more open work environment. You just need a good desk to work at. You need Wi-Fi. You want coffee, but where the coffee shops and the bookstores don't quite provide the professional level of the environment that you need, that's where co-working came in.
I got you, and this is especially something for, I guess, the medium-sized businesses, because as you start adding a few employees, you need a place that you can put people together, and the coffee shop's certainly not a good place for that. And I guess as a percentage of the business, office space for a larger group can be pretty high, yes?
Absolutely. It can run. It can be costly. Also, it's a great environment for corporations that believe in the teleworking. So they don't necessarily want their employee to work from home, but they want them in a more professional environment, but they don't necessarily have to travel all the way downtown or to their corporate office. So they like to use open workspaces like what we have as well. And then you have also just that mobile professional. They're out and about all day, and they don't want to necessarily stop at the fast food chain just because they have Wi-Fi. So it gives them a great opportunity to work in that type of environment. And if they need that one-on-one meeting space, they can do it. Or companies like to have off-site training as well, or off-site place to have their meetings. So it's a good environment for that too.
Now, you know that you have a background in IT solutions. How does this open office space, how does it really help a company on the IT side?
Okay. A good bit of it is you don't necessarily have to buy some of the equipment or have some of the access to that. Also, it puts you in front of others that if your business isn't necessarily, you're not really IT savvy, you end up having access to businesses that are, because it's a great opportunity to collaborate with businesses. You meet more people. They are working out of the co-working space, and you get to ask them, you know, hey, I'm having this problem with my computer. You know, what can I do? So it gives you more access to those that are a little bit more tech savvy than you may be.
In other words, there's something that kicked off that that really spawned you to say, hey, this is a necessary thing, this is needed?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, what brought about the BizLink Center?
Well, you know, I've always wanted to open some type of training space for about 10 years. And just with me being in that area and the fact that I like to be mobile, my mantra is kind of have a laptop, we'll travel. So I was always looking for spaces to work out of that were conducive to what my needs were. And then just over time, after working with Constant Contact and interacting with so many small businesses, kind of seeing the questions that they would ask me after classes, seeing that they had that need, and I always ran my business, and so I had those needs as well. So I saw that, you know, with the economy, more and more businesses were starting up, and they needed someplace where they didn't necessarily have a home office or home wasn't conducive to trying to get their business started. So, you know, they were out there trying to find places to work that were going to be affordable. And I just have a love of small businesses and working with small businesses. So I decided last year that, you know, it's time to get it started. I see the businesses need it. Let's do it.
Now, how do you balance this? Because I think about people in a work environment, and you know, go back to the corporate work environment. You know, one challenge that you always deal with is you're trying to work and some other jackleg in the office is running around
right.
who's not working,
exactly.
but he's always at your desk, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So I see the benefit of the collaboration, mm-hmm. but also potentially you got somebody that's in your workspace mm-hmm. that they have nothing to do, right?
Right, exactly.
How do you balance those two
yeah.
things so that you're really getting effective workspace mm-hmm. and quality interaction with the people around you?
Well, a couple of things with that. One, it becomes a community, so everyone really gets to know each other on that personal level as well and respect each other's space. But one thing that we do in an open workspace is the signal is always if they have their headphones on, their head down in work, don't disrupt them. And then if not...
They're wired in. That's
exactly.
what we learned from Zuckerberg, right?
Exactly.
Oh, he's wired in. Forget
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Don't talk
right.
to him.
All right.
So there's that opportunity. And then we have other areas that are more available. We have a nice business lounge, so people can go out there if they want to talk with each other and not interrupt the people in the open workspace. And then we have a few smaller rooms where you can go. We have a cubicle office where if you just really need that shut out space, you can go there. And we have a nice little conversation room where you can go and have a private one-on-one conversation too. So we have a few private areas as well as that open area.
Okay. So what are some of the other services that you guys offer other than just the open workspace?
We have, of course, training classes. So of course, with my background with IT and with Constant Contact, we put on a lot of email marketing classes. We do other small business development type classes. We actually have a great 7 Habits class coming up next month too. So we offer a lot of good training, a lot of good events, a lot of great networking. And then I also, of course, provide email marketing services through our business. We have administrative services that are available, domain name, hosting, sales. So our whole concept is that the businesses grow because of their relationship with the center. So our members that have products and services offer their services through the center. So that gives the other members an opportunity to be able to find affordable services for whatever they may need.
And speaking of services, you've got one that intrigues me. Tell me about this poking thing that you guys have going. What is that all about?
The poking is fun, and really talking about IT there. The poking, it's a digital business card, and is this little gadget that you can carry around on your keychain, and when the two hands touch, they call it high-fouring. So when the two hands touch, that person's information transfers to your poking. So you plug it into your USB when you get home, and then you go into your account, and you have a timeline that shows you when you've met the different people that you high forward with. You're able to see all of their contact information, their social networking information. So it keeps you in touch with them. And so it's been a lot of fun. We're doing poking parties where it's a great way to network, especially for those wallflowers. It's a great way to approach someone and to say, you know, may I high for you and get that conversation going. So it's just a new fun way to network and grab that information. You'll see it at conferences more, so people don't have to pass the business cards at a big conference. They can all just poke in and they go in and the information is already keyed in for them. They don't have to worry about trying to then key it in.
That makes sense. So you're not only a trainer, but you're an author as well.
Mm-hmm.
Tell
mm-hmm.
me about the book that you've got.
Well, I'm excited about that. My first book was called God is in Your Inbox, and I really did the book initially to learn about self-publishing and to get to that published author status and get that piece out of the way and start working on my other books. And so it's a compilation of inspirational stories that you've seen in emails years ago, but no one really either opened them or saved them. But a lot of them had great messages, so I saved them all and compiled them in a book. And so I love that, and I learned about just self-publishing. And with that, we have that spinoff of one of our shows, which is called Book Your Success. So now we interview authors about how they also use their book to build their business.
Okay. You've mentioned other books that you want to write. Mm-hmm. What's coming down the pipe?
And I have one in the works about networking. And then, of course, you know, we're debating, do we do one about co-working or not? We probably will, just to help get the word out about it a little bit more. And then I have, you know, several IT books. My publishing company is called Bite Size Books. And the concept there was to keep the book simple, because when you're talking IT, that's not everyone's bag. So they're not going to read an extensive book about it, but they'll read a small book that just gives them the immediate knowledge that they need. So I have several kind of bite-sized books planned in the works for technology and social media and all of that.
So for our listeners out there that might be interested in looking into open workspace, because mm-hmm. they're tired of doing business in the mm-hmm. basement or at Starbucks, mm-hmm. how would they go about getting in touch with you and finding out if the BizLink okay. Center is a good fit?
They can reach us online at www.thebizlinkscenter.com, and BizLinks is spelled BizLynks. They can reach us there. They can, of course, reach us on Facebook at facebook.com/thebizlinkscenter, and on all the social networks. We're on Twitter at BizLink Center, and we're on LinkedIn, and so we're all over the place.
Do you think you'll eventually drop the?
Well, you know,
it worked for Zuckerberg, right?
Right. It, you know, it flowed so well saying the BizLink Center, but most of the time we just call it the center.
Okay. All right. So we'll see how that works out in the future. Well, listen, you've got some great background in IT, and I think that's going to be very valuable as we continue mm-hmm. our discussion. Can you hang out for a few minutes while
Absolutely.
I visit with our next guest? Awesome. So, Robert Hilburn, you are from Network Networks. Again, that's a little tongue twister there, but I'm going to just say it one time instead of a bunch of times. Is that fair?
That's fair, and if you want, you can actually short it down to Network. That's typically what we do, because we do get that problem a lot. It's generally, I have to tell people it's a NAT. You know, if you're in the South and you're south of the NAT line, you're familiar with what a NAT is. It's a little tiny bug, and then you add the work to it, so it's Network. Network. Originally, when I started the company, I was looking at bringing technologies that were usually only available to enterprises to small businesses. One of those products was wireless, which, you know, I kind of tried to throw in the NAT, trying to make it more like a wireless type of look. Obviously, I've moved progress beyond that because the markets have changed and wireless is not as big of a market for us anymore, but we do, of course, we've moved to where we're able to offer, again, more enterprise-level products to smaller businesses. You know, we're located in the Atlanta area, but we do actually support customers throughout the Southeast. We try to manage their whole IT infrastructure and actually put it at a decent rate for them, or a flat rate if possible, and that's one reason, our saying is we're technical, so you don't have to be.
Okay, well, that's good. And I mean, I know that that Pam was talking about, one of her things is speaking technical to the technically challenged, and that is certainly something that drives a need and cost. Small and medium businesses, they definitely need a cost solution that allows them these higher-end services. So let's focus on one for right now that I know that you wanted to talk about today, which is of big interest to most businesses out there, and that is cloud computing. So from a ground level, take us and help us understand, what is cloud computing all about?
Well, it's kind of an open-end question when you say what's cloud computing, because it's so vast. You almost have to go back to really what's the definition of cloud and where it came from. The term actually came from when people used to be building telephone networks. They'd start showing data flow diagrams where to go from an office to another office, but between those two offices, you'd have a cloud. Well, that progressed as we got into the internet, and so then you'd then have those connections in the internet going through a cloud, and so thus the term came, cloud computing. Cloud can go from anywhere from your email, from listening to radio on the internet, getting your GPS navigation information from Google. Of course, a lot of people's favorite is Facebook. They might be getting an online diary or pictures from people, all the way to the framework where people could be hosting their whole network. They could have hosted PCs, hosted servers. You may have even seen people that might be using like a tablet or an iPad to connect into something that looks just like Windows. Well, that would be like a hosted PC that they're able to work on their network with.
So basically what we're talking about is we're talking about data that is not locally contained anymore. It's contained somewhere else.
Right. The way I like to put it is if you don't have your data or all your systems locally, you're doing something on the cloud.
Okay. And that's beneficial to get it away from local because why? What are some of those important reasons that you want to move it out of your office and put it somewhere else? I mean, I'm thinking things like security, backup, et cetera, but...
Well, I think one of the biggest things, especially for small businesses and startup businesses, is you can get into a good product very fast for a low price. And that can include decent security and different levels of quality of service so that you can start up your business real fast with very little commitment. A lot of these services are month to month or maybe a year contract. And you can get things going without that initial outlay of funds that you typically have to do for an on-site service.
And then when you've got an on-site service, a lot of times you've got to have somebody to maintain that program, that software that's been installed, and the hardware behind it as well.
You do. And, you know, there's always the break fix when, you know, not something we do anymore, but a lot of customers, you know, have, or a lot of people have people that come in and break, fix things when they're broken or just to do regular maintenance, which is something that we try to actually add into a service agreement so that things flow better. But it's something that you can quickly get into the industry. You're safe, you're protected, and if you ever want to migrate, you can then hire your IT staff.
What about negatives? Are there any negatives to going to the cloud?
Well, you know, the biggest thing is security. Yes, you can have a little better security with having cloud computing because you don't have people who have immediate access to your server. They can't go in and log into your server there on site. But also you can't go in and turn off your server either if it seems like things are going wrong. Some problems with cloud computing though can be the security might be you can't get a good VPN connection between the two offices. You have to worry about, you know, what kind of system access, the possibility of higher costs that might be incurred. And then what happens if you're doing 100% on the internet? What happens when your internet goes away? What happens if there's a power outage just in your building? Is there a backup? You have to have something to fall back on.
Well, this kind of brings us to, I think, what I feel like is a driving force in this cloud computing thing, which is accessibility. People want to be able to get to their data easier, quicker, and in more places. And with people carrying more devices these days, tablets, smartphones, laptops, et cetera, you know, there was a day when I guess we were all tied to the plug for our desktop computer, and now the cord has been cut, and we're mobile, you know. So cloud computing, good solution for someone who's trying to stay mobile with most of their data?
Well, generally what I try to do is when people are looking to go to cloud computing is first I want to interview what their business is doing and where their business is going and what kind of staff they have. Because with cloud computing, there is a learning curve. Take, for an example, if you had a practice of three lawyers who most of them have been in practice for 30 or 40 years, they're pretty set in their ways. To have them change immediately over to a cloud computing can be a very big negative. On the other hand, you take a group that might be starting off or might be needing to get to the next level of marketing and communication with their customers. A lot of that can be put in place very quickly and can make a big difference in a company. It just really depends on the atmosphere of the company, the technical expertise there in the company, the data connection in the company. Is there a backup connection, internet connection, if they lose connection to all of their data? And then also, are they okay with the security? Does it match their practices, their policies? Does it match what they need to have in place?
So I won't mention any names, but I think of people that I know and am close to that are so technically challenged that you don't even want to give them a wireless device of any kind because it's only going to lead to immense amounts of time on the phone. Do you ever see a situation where you got a business that could benefit greatly from the cloud computing, but they are so technically challenged that maybe it's not a good idea, or you know, hey, there's going to be a huge, huge learning curve that we're going to have to come in here and educate these people before we're going to be able to turn them loose?
Oh, I'm intimately familiar with many people that are that way. There's always, in a company with, 1 to 10 people that have been in business for over a year, there's going to be someone who's going to have problems. They're going to be technically challenged. So you're going to we do experience those a lot. The biggest thing is if it has to be moved to the cloud, and they're forcing people to it, the biggest thing is you train people on it and you give them as much leeway as you can up to a point, and you try to get people moved into that direction.
Makes sense. Have you ever experienced a situation where I guess maybe you've had to bring in an outside team, like a change management consultant, to really help in that process? It was just so severe?
Well, we try to do that ourselves, but since we manage a lot of the hosting companies, or we manage the software vendors that actually might be putting in some of the hosting, a lot of times they have some training to do that. We will manage that for our customers, and there have been situations where we've really had to go in and walk through the changes, but there will be issues with changes in some larger organizations.
Now, outside of cloud computing, what are some of the other service areas that you can help small and medium-sized businesses with?
Well, you know, we go across the board. We can manage the vendors, including copiers. We do the complete support end-to-end for computers, PCs, servers, and if they're doing the hosted servers, if they're doing true virtualization on the internet, we can help them out with that as well. We can also help out with their software vendors. Many software vendors will help you to a point, but they won't go any further. Basically, they'll give you guidelines to where you have to be, and if you can't go past there, you're on your own. And a lot of times, we have to be that intermediary for those customers.
Now, you're in a very crowded space. There are a lot of people out there that claim to be IT solution providers, IT service providers. What makes you guys unique? How do you stand out against the crowd?
Well, I try to really focus my efforts on helping out smaller businesses. You know, a lot of our market is in smaller businesses like legal, financial, accounting practices. And then our largest market is actually in small medical practices with, you know, 5 providers or doctors or less. So we can actually have a little bit of a niche there. We have transformed our company in the last few months from a typical break fix almost 100% into what's called a managed service provider, which we mentioned earlier. With a managed service provider, you actually, the company manages the IT's services, the hosting. They help out with the integration between the vendors. We've pushed that a lot, and we're trying to do that as close to as possible flat rates, except for maybe major projects moving to the cloud. We do sell cloud hosting and virtualization. If you want to bring your whole office completely to virtualized desktop, virtualized servers, we can do that for you. And I think we're probably one of the early people doing it.
So if someone out there listening thinks they need some of these enterprise-level services at small and medium-sized business prices, or maybe they're just disgruntled with their own IT provider, how would they go about getting in touch with you guys?
Well, you know, obviously you can give us a call, you know, or just find us on the web, natwork.com, G-N-A-T-W-R-K. But, you know, there's also, you can look up other MSPs like ourselves on an organization called CompTIA. CompTIA.org keeps a list of managed service providers that have been approved through their processes. The companies had to give policies, they had to give examples of their customers, they had to get a lot of information from these companies, and they've created a list of very good MSP providers, which we're one of those, and you can get us from that list as well.
All right, great. Well, let me bring Pam back into the conversation here, because Pam has some background in IT solution planning as well, and you guys both have an interesting niche, which is the idea that you both talk about using technology as a profit center. Really, IT should drive revenue in your business and shouldn't be just an expense out the door. First off, let's just address that. I mean, how do you turn IT into a profit center inside of a business?
Well, if you look at some of our areas with medical practices, by communicating to their patients and actually having information available to them on the web, they're actually able to drive more time with their clients, and actually more of their practices are getting more patients because they may have a good portal out on the internet for their patients to get into. You know, a lot of smaller practices that don't have a nice patient portal may be losing businesses to those who do keep a very good website with a good portal for the patients to be able to access.
And then I look at it from the perspective of not getting money directly in, but how you save money. So I look at how they can improve their productivity, which then leads to their increasing their sales. So one, looking at what tools you have, what software you have, that you can do to really function better. So many people have a lot of software in their computer and they don't even know that it does certain things. And that's kind of how I got started in technology training, because with my clients, I was always stopping them from buying another piece of software and they didn't realize something they had already did it. And then learning how to use it more effectively, and then taking that into the cloud with looking at social media and all those other tools, and how you can increase your exposure through marketing your business through the social media tools that are out there as well.
Well, that's an interesting point. Robert brought that up earlier, talking about asking businesses how they're currently using what they're using and how they currently do business. Mm-hmm. I mean, how often do you guys find that out there where companies have technology that they're not fully leveraging, and maybe they've just bought something to buy it? Mm-hmm.
I see that a lot of times, and a lot when I go into a customer and I'll even tell them, hey, you could be doing this. You know, there's so many things that are actually included with just your basic Microsoft service that customers aren't already utilizing. And that could be even internally, you know, like a nice communication systems. Microsoft servers already include what's called SharePoint already on the server. People can do some light programming and get a very nice communication database that would go between everyone inside of an office. You know, instead of have everyone having to post a calendar or using Google apps or other methods which might be inconsistent, you can have everything in one place and it's already there.
All right, this is kind of a random number here. You guys may not be able to pinpoint this, but I'm just curious if you got a guess. For the average business out there, if you walked in, you took a look at what they're currently doing with their technology, and you got them as efficient as possible using what they already have in the manner that it should be leveraged, what do you think that would do to the productivity of that business on average?
Wow, that is a hard number to pull out. I mean, I would think it's going to increase their business at least by 50% of what they're doing, if not more than that, if they get more productive in how they're utilizing their time. And the tools is what helps them do that.
See, I like that, because I think I would agree with that mm-hmm. number sitting right there somewhere. Mm-hmm. And that's why we talk about this idea of breaking the rules of conventional thought, mm-hmm. because a lot of people think, if I'm not being productive enough, I need to buy something new. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's a mentality we've developed mm-hmm. over the years, right? Just buy the next thing. You obviously don't have the right thing. And, you know, some of these vendors have gotten into mm-hmm. that, right? It's like, oh, well, you need the newest version.
Right.
That's your problem.
Exactly.
It's like, I'm not even using the old version. Why do I need the new version, mm-hmm. right? So getting to this point of getting the technically challenged to understand the technical, how do you go in and tell a company that? How do you get them to embrace the idea they don't need something new, they need to better leverage what they have?
Well, I mean, if you can immediately tell them, hey, you can kind of start to almost fix your cost on a monthly basis for your IT. So many times in companies that have too much local may have major outages, or they might have a server outage, and then they're going to spend lots of money on the labor, even hardware costs, whereas if they had something already in place on the cloud, it's working for them. I like to think of using cloud computing almost as an insurance policy. You know, someone at your office might come in and steal your server. You may have the latest, greatest versions that you have to move to because of your compliance. Or just for the most part, you might need to make some type of change. Well, you are protected for the most part if you're using cloud computing, because if you decide to make a change, you can move to another service. If it's just a version upgrade, you're always going to usually get the latest, greatest version on your hosted services. Again, as far as physical theft and having to take care of a whole server room, that's taken care of for you. So to me, I feel like you pay a little more and just consider that your insurance cost.
And on our end, because we work with more small businesses that don't have much of a budget to work with in the first place, it can somewhat be an easy sell, just because they're coming to us looking for what's the affordable way for us to do this. What can I work with what I already have? So we can sit down and we look at how they're already operating, what they actually have, what kind of laptop they may have. First of all, if they have a laptop, what software they have, and just looking at all the tools that are out there and available to small businesses, many of them are free, but teaching them how to use it more more effectively. And some things you have to go beyond the free and teaching them that, you know, you have to make somewhat of an investment, of course, in your business to have that professional appearance so that you can compete with the larger companies. But for us, I think the bigger challenge is really getting them beyond the technology indifference sometimes because they may feel, oh, I'm not that tech savvy. I don't really know this. And I usually, my first response to them is typically, you didn't used to know how to drive either, but you learned. So really giving them the opportunity to learn that you can do this, and let's just take it one step at a time.
Now, I'd be careful with that analogy because there's a lot of people in Atlanta that still don't know how to drive.
But I always say they're not from Georgia.
So what do you guys think is coming down the pipe? I mean, there's been so many changes in the last few years in technology. What do you think the next few years look like? Anything that's on the horizon that you think business owners need to be thinking about right now?
Well, I do see actually some positives on the horizon. Already you're seeing a lot of big players starting to get into the cloud market for like the virtualization, the PCs, virtual desktops, the virtual servers. And as those big players like Dell, Amazon, you're going to start seeing more people being able to get things at a better price because all the competition is out there and everyone's going to be driving to get your business. So I do see a lot of positives to where people are going to be able to do this easier, quicker, and at a cheaper cost because they want your business.
Exactly. And mobile is just going to continue to grow because of all that, because of the cloud. I think the tools are going to get better and better, whether they get a little bit larger or a little bit smaller. I think you'll have some in all areas, but that mobile side of it is really going to grow even for the small businesses. We already see that happening now, tapping into having mobile apps that are working on the different tools that are out there.
Well, here's one coming down the pipe that I'd be interested in your feedback on. So what about this new Windows 8 that's coming out? And they're talking about actually creating some new devices that take advantage of some of the touchscreen features and things of that nature to make Windows more iPad-ish, as it were. You know, what do you guys think about that for business? What should they be looking at there?
I actually see Windows 8 as a very good step for small businesses or even corporations. Having a true Microsoft product is what a lot of support desks or support people are used to, and there's many more applications to where you can truly remote control a Windows 7 device now, Windows 8 in the future. I'm sure you're going to be able to do that with products from like LogMeIn, Go to My PC. So support desks are going to see a lot easier time supporting those tablets. Right now, for us, when we're trying to support an iPad, a lot of times we're having to get out our iPad and say, okay, click here, click there. Is that right? and we're just really kind of guessing with it. But as you come to a Windows 8 product, we're actually coming to almost bringing a similar experience that we've had in the past to where we can have more control on the IT side, and the customer, for the most part, will be able to get better support from us.
That sounds great. And I think also, you know, people know Microsoft whether they love them or don't love them. They know Microsoft, you know, getting the software that you need for Microsoft is definitely, I think, a little bit more easy than what you can do on the Apple machines. And with that, I often get, you know, they're going to have to definitely figure out how they can compete with the Apple and the iPad for sure. But with Windows 8, that's the first question I always get with the iPad is, can I open my Microsoft documents on it? And, you know, of course, I tell them yes, and then I have to explain this is how you do it. But I think, and there was rumor out that Microsoft is about to come out with a competing tablet, that's really going to give them a little bit of run for their money, I think, because some people have been hesitant because they didn't necessarily want to go over to Apple because they also want compatibility across all their different devices as well. So with Microsoft really getting in that game now, I think that's going to make a huge change. They just got to make sure that they have the apps. That's where it's hard to compete with Apple, is with the apps. So they got to just make sure they've got some good apps and a good app market, I believe.
Well, let's touch on that compatibility issue for a second, because that's a change that we've seen. I mean, the traditional thought pattern has always been, you know, the company controls the devices. They standardize everything. You know, everybody has the same laptop or the same phone or whatever. But now it's more of a bring-your-own-device type mentality out there, where companies are allowing users to go out and one has an iPad, one has, you know, a Samsung tablet, one has whatever new thing is on the horizon, right? How do you deal with this compatibility issue for a business these days?
Well, I mean, is directly related to our changes with cloud. People are able to do more with the cloud. You have things that are fairly consistent because it's consistent on the cloud, may not be consistent on your device, but it's always going to be consistent to where you're connecting.
Great point. Yeah. Great point.
Mm-hmm. And I think the app developers, the ones that develop their apps with the different operating systems in mind, for example, you have like Dropbox when we talk about storing our files on the cloud. Well, they have an Android app. They have an iPad app. So having your app that is similar and that works on all the different devices, I think makes a huge difference. So the ones that don't have them that operate on both systems are the ones that I think will fall by the wayside.
Now, here's an interesting twist. I told you guys before the show, I thought this would be great for our listeners. You guys have an interesting tie-in. Not only you both have these technology backgrounds, but you both have minor degrees in psychology. And I'm big on this because understanding human behavior, I think, is a really fascinating thing. Tell me a little bit about how maybe that has helped you in your interaction within your own teams, running your own business, or interacting with customers.
Well, I think one of the biggest things you use it for is for sales. Everyone likes to see a brand new product. So what do? When you talk to somebody, you show them something really neat and really cool. And, you know, that's, again, something people like to see. It makes it a better sale for you. That's one of my favorite things to do with psychology. Another thing is even my workforce. If you keep changing things up, improving things, you know, some of those little minute changes actually will improve business productivity.
You know, and I didn't even realize what I was doing when I did it at the time. You know, I just had enough classes that were almost there for a minor, and I really enjoyed those classes. So I said, well, you know, I might as well get a minor in it. Didn't know at that time the value of it, but now it definitely plays in well with what we do. Because, again, we're working with people that don't necessarily understand technology. I think it's part of what has allowed me to be able to even understand the things from the technical side of it and be able to translate that in everyday speak to others, because having that, because a lot of IT people can't talk to everyday people and explain it to where they're going to understand it. And I think having that psych minor behind me has really helped with that.
Well, Robert, you mentioned using it in sales, which I think is a hugely important piece. So let me ask a little deeper on that question. I mean, so if you can get in front of somebody, I feel like you've probably got the background and the degree to actually close the deal. But how do you go to market? How do you get these small and medium-sized businesses who are busy wearing many hats and running their deal, how do you get them to open up and say, I need help, let's talk about IT?
Well, something I like to do, and it does work on a little bit of psychology because people are trust who they know or at least who they've talked to. I think the biggest place where we get our business from is from word of mouth. I'd mentioned that we have a lot of medical practices. We do get referrals from medical practices, even legal and other areas. We get referrals from the medical or from legal to other companies in different fields. So there's trust that people get from us. Another area that we pick up a lot of business is actually going to some of the conferences, maybe a software vendor conference, to be able to meet people there so that they can see and actually get a little trust that we're familiar with the product that they're going to be using in their office.
Mm-hmm. Pam, how about you?
Well, and in saying that trust part, and that took me right back to the email marketing side of things and kind of my knowledge in that area, and that pulls in, again, that whole psychology of it, because that is what we say, people open emails from people they know and trust. It's the same thing when you're talking about social media, really understanding when you're putting messages out there, you know, having an understanding of what are people looking for, what's going to drive them, what's going to make them interact and go beyond just seeing this message, but actually take some action on that. So having that psychology behind it and really understanding what motivates people and learning how to listen to find out what motivates people can make a big difference too.
And we've seen a change in the workforce in the last several years in really what motivates people, haven't we?
Absolutely.
Have you dealt with that internally?
Well, I think one of the biggest motivators lately has been money. And if you can show that they can get a return on their investment very quickly, a lot of times it can quickly turn into a sale. I'm sure even in your space with the businesses, mm-hmm. going to small spaces, they can quickly see that they're not going to have to pay for your, you know, brick and mortar type building.
Exactly.
And they can quickly do that. You know, we work out of an office suite. You know, we don't even have our own building. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're a good example of how people are looking at ways to save money. You know, we're not only there to save money, but we're also trying to get business.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And that definitely makes a big difference. So it's not always about making more money, but how do you just hold on to the money that you have? But another big way it's changed is people understanding the importance of relationships now. So, and that's why you see social media growing so much, because it is about building those relationships, getting to know people before you then make that choice to interact with them. So I think that's one way it's really changing. It is really a change. The relationships are much more important.
Well, let's wrap up with this idea, because I want to give our listeners a takeaway, and we always talk about this idea of being non-conventional, getting outside of those traditional norms. You know, maybe share one little pearl of wisdom, if you could, with our listeners, that something that is out of the norm for you guys, something you've done that stands you apart from the crowd, gets away from the way that most people do business, and it could be internal or external, but something that you really feel like has propelled you forward for success and will continue to be a point you'll build on in the coming months and years.
Well, I think for me, part of our company is we're able to change very quickly. You know, like I'd mentioned, we used to be a typical IT support company that we'd bill out for time and materials. Typically, when something broke, we'd go fix it. And we've moved to basically a managed service. And I think that we're in a situation where we can move with the industry when we need to. If there's a new push, we're going to be able to learn it. We're going to be able to push that into our clients as well.
And for us, really, our whole space is somewhat out of the norm, even though it's becoming more known and a little bit more popular. The whole co-working concept, the whole resource center where people can come and, you know, get a lot of things done in one place and build relationships with others. There's not many just places you can go for all of that for a small business. And I think what sets us apart is we're always sharing with people, you know, you can work for yourself, but not by yourself. So in the past, it's always been for businesses and small businesses, especially, that they're working for themselves by themselves. They don't have any really a real support structure. So they're now saying, I can go to a place where I can get it all in one place.
Well, your solution really plays off what Robert just said, which is that idea that you've got to be able to change. Mm-hmm. And as business changes and the way people do business change, you've got to be able to adapt and move. And, you know, I think that's really where we get into that getting away from the conventional norm. People get stuck in these ruts. They've done things one way. And even when they do change, you know, we see companies that change very slowly. They're not able to adapt to change quickly. And one thing, especially in smaller businesses where it's not the problem that, hey, we're a big company and we can't make change quick, it's that idea of they're afraid to change. Mm-hmm, exactly. You know, what if I make a mistake? What if I go the wrong direction? Mm-hmm. You know, what if what I do is not the correct thing? And, right. You know, it kind of just makes me think of a movie I saw once where a guy was climbing a mountain and he got himself into a bad situation and he had to make the decision to basically cast himself down this chasm on a rope, didn't know how deep he was going, didn't know what was down there, didn't even know if the rope was long enough to get him down to the bottom. But, you know, he went over the edge and he said, basically, you know, when you're on the mountain, you have to keep making decisions. Even if they're the wrong decisions, mm-hmm. You have to keep making decisions.
Absolutely.
And I think that's so true for business, and it is so in the face of what many of us has been taught, which is be safe, be slow, do the right thing. You know, in business, if you make a mistake, and I'm sure you guys can attest to this, you can correct it.
Absolutely.
You can move on.
Yep. You'll grow. Yep. You'll grow from it.
You'll
too.
Grow. You'll learn. It won't. Yep. You know. It'll be all right.
That's right. We just jump out there and do it. Well, we'll figure it out as we go. You know. But definitely, just let's try it. Let's see if it works. It's just don't think about failure so much anymore. But really looking at, you know, I've now learned another way not to do it. So, but that gets me closer to the way to do it.
I love it. And don't throw a bunch of money at something new. Use what you've got.
Exactly.
Then make that change, right?
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think those are some good thoughts for the day. Let's do this. Let's make sure people know how to get in touch with you guys. Pam, give us your contact info one more time.
Okay. They can reach us on the web at www.thebizlinkscenter.com. That's BIZLYNKS. And then also via phone at 678-825-5201 and on all social networks.
All right. And Robert, how can people get in touch with you for Networks?
Well, yeah, like I said, it can be hard for people to understand the name, so you'd really have to think of the NAT, G-N-A-T, work. You go to natwork.com, and you can find some information on there. You can check us out on comptia.org, or you can give us a call at 1-866-292-5970.
The good news is, Robert, you got some free marketing going on out there for you right now, because I don't know if you've got it like we do, but over where I live, man, the gnats are everywhere. I mean, we tried to sit out and eat last night, and they were swarming. I'm like, where did all these things come from? So now, when you're surrounded by gnats during your picnic, think of Natwork Networks and give Robert a call. He'll help you get your business moving forward with some IT solutions. How about that for a plug?
I appreciate that.
All right. Guys, thank you so much both for being on the show today and sharing your concepts of how you're getting outside of the conventional norms. To our listeners out there, we thank you for tuning in. We hope that you'll come back each and every week as we visit with business owners and talk to them about how they are getting outside the conventional norms, doing unique and inspiring things to achieve business success. I'm your host, Andy Lowe. This has been Renegade Radio, brought to you by Renegade Concepts and the good folks here at Business Radio X. And remember, opportunity lies in the impossible, but you have to be willing to break the rules of conventional thinking. Until next time.